This is Wendy Smith recording with Paul Hawes on the Brickworks. We will be looking at photographs, describing the photographs, and then what's happening in the photographs.
Yes, the Brickworks. As far as I can work out, the Brickworks started in Burwell about 1840. My ancestors come from Norfolk to Cambridge as brickmakers in the late 1700s, and they moved to Burwell in the 1800s and worked the Burwell Brickyard. They came to Cambridge from Norfolk as brickmakers. My grandfather at one time was foreman at the brickworks. My father worked there. My uncle was there. Uncle Bert was there for 40 years as a kiln burner. I worked there when I left school. Went there in 1950 until I went in the army. I come out and I worked there until it closed in 1970-ish. And then after a 20-year period, I think it was, I started another little brickworks up in Burwell to supply Cambridgeshire gold clay products for restoration and conservation work.
Were the brickworks here before your relatives came?
No, I think in the 1800s there was a big industry, the coprolite industry, where the men were digging coprolite, which is dinosaur dung.
Oh, my.
That was acid. That was added with acid to make a nitrogen fertiliser, I think. And while I was digging, they found this seam of clay, and started the same person who owned the fertiliser factory owned the brickworks. He was Mr. Ball, who lived at Burwell House. So I think that was the start of it. Although all the little villages had a brickwork, Swaffham Bulbeck did, Soham did, and all the way Ely had brickworks, Cambridge had brickworks, all on the edge of the fen, so that seam of clay must have run along the edge of the fen. Yeah, now, the brickworks, the old brick pits were on an adjoining field, and about 1900 they moved to the other site. And the clay was dug by hand until about 1935.
Where exactly were the brickworks?
It was up Factory Road, about a mile up Factory Road on your right. The other side of Factory Road, on your left, was the fertiliser factory, which stood on the riverbank. And when they were digging this clay by hand, it was put into little half-ton tubs, little rail trucks, which were on a two-foot-wide railway.
We're looking at the photograph showing this.
This is a photograph, and I think the man's name who's about to push the truck is Mr. Pammett. I always get mixed up in the village. I was born in the village, where the Pammetts and the Pammetters and the Cases and the Cases.
All right.
I always get mixed up with them. I mean, I think this is Steve Pammett, who's about to push that truck. That little truck was winched up to the top of the pit, then the clay was ground and produced into bricks.
So this truck has been pulled here from where the clay was?
Yeah, it was where the clay was. That's been loaded by hand, and it's been pushed on the railway to this position. If you look at the photograph, you can see the clay diggings in the back. So the truck has probably been pushed from there.
Oh, right.
I think it's about to be hooked up and winched to the top of the pit.
Is this another one coming in?
Yeah, it's another sort of... So what had happened, this truck would go forward, they'd be winched up, this one's probably empty, so when he's up here, This empty truck could go on a line back to be loaded.
So it's like a...
I think on the railway they call them points. So you can get off one track onto another.
Right.
That is in the early days. And then in 1935, they must have spent a lot of money because they done away with the hand digging and they had this here... I think that's a German rick and pick machine, I think that's what that's called.
And this is the second photograph.
Yes. This machine has cut in the face of clay. It was 45 degree angles, and that's about 30 feet high. And what happens, the buckets have got teeth on, and as they come down, they plane some of the clay off. It falls to the bottom, the buckets pick it up, drop it into a hopper, over the top of the hopper, and return to the top of the jib, then come down and plane another piece. And that machine is moving backwards and forwards along the face probably about 20 feet wide. And then when the clay is in the hopper of that machine, it's gone, tipped into the little trucks again, and it's tipped into what that we call a loading head. The loading head is the bottom of an aerial ropeway, and it's tipped into a bucket, and it goes up an aerial ropeway similar to a ski lift.
This is the third photograph.
This is the third photograph.
So this is the clay coming out of the hopper.
Well, this is a spillage.
Oh.
The clay at the hopper should be falling down a hole, down a chute, and the bucket is underneath there. And that is the third photograph. The fourth photograph shows you the pit, shows you the digger in the background, and shows you the aerial ropeway. And as you see, buckets are going up loaded. They go up to the press shed, and as the rope comes round the big wheel and comes down the other side, the bucket is tripped, and so the load tips into a big hopper. So they're coming up loaded, and they're going down the pit again, upside down and empty.
About how high are the struts?
They're fairly hard. I don't know.
I mean, they would be. Looking at it, it's a lot higher than the.
No, these are pylons, and I should imagine that one could be 40 foot high. That's one. Two. The next point would be the shed. I think that was the first pylon, which was the highest, and they went lower and lower till we got to the loading head at the bottom. Right, was that number four?
That was number four, yeah.
Yeah. This is just another view, or a general view of the quarry, with a 45 degree face right round the back there, where they're cutting clay. The whole area, when they finished, is 30 feet deep and about 30 acres. Really marvellous pit. I think they're using it now as a water leisure area, fishing and a bit of boating and that, a bit of wildlife.
So this is still the Factory Road area?
Yeah, we're still up the Factory Road. If you go up Factory Road, on your right, you'll see the old production shed still there, and this pit is behind it. You're able to look into the pit if you walk down, that's a public footpath, and if you go down there, and you cross a little ditch and look in the back of the pit. But all the pylons, all the ropeway, everything's gone. It's just an empty, flooded pit now. Well, it's been disused since the 1970, I think, so that's 30, that's 40 some odd years. Right, the next photograph This one shows you one of the aerial ropeway buckets going into the shed. It's the right way up, so it hasn't tripped yet. So as it goes round the top of the big wheel, it goes round and down again. That's a continuous rope which pulls them up, and the buckets run on another rope. And as it goes round, that will tip into the hopper, then go down empty.
How much is in each
bucket? There's about half a ton of clay in each bucket.
Hmm. We're on about photograph 7 now. People standing up.
Now, after the clay is tipped into, this is a more modern method of making bricks. Previous to this, they were handmade and they were thrown into moulds, sort of slopped in. The clay was pretty near the consistency of a cow pat. That was wet enough, and as you threw it into the mould, it would take the shape of the mould and it would sort of stand in brick shape. If you was very careful, you'd shake it out of the mould and put it to dry. But this is a more modern method. What happens here, the clay is tipped in the hopper as it enters the shed. It then enters this here rotary dryer. You can see the size of the dryer because there's two men standing there. That gives you some idea of the scale of it.
Yeah.
And there's a rotary dryer, that's a furnace one end and a fan the other end, pulling hot air through. And as the clay goes through, it dries, and it's wet, has a fairly high moisture content when it's dug. So they have to get rid of some of this here moisture, perhaps about 30% moisture. And it goes, that's probably in this here dryer for about 20 minutes from a start this end till it, as the rotary dryer is a bit on the slope, so as it goes through, the clay drops out the other end. And it drops out the other end, and then it goes up a belted elevator to this here conveyor, which is over the top of the grinder pans. Now that conveyor has feeds three hoppers or three grinding pans, whichever it can be adjusted so that it all drops into one hopper
So is this man here looking at inside one of the hoppers or?
He is now. I don't know what he's doing. It looks as if he's just sort of having a cigarette, that man. In another photograph, you'll see a man working on a grinding pan. There was various men about the shed. There was a furnace man. There was people just to make sure the place ran all right. There was a foreman.
I think this must be about photo 8.
Yes. This is another photograph of the rotary dryer. This heap of clay here, possibly if the clay was coming out too dry, they would run it off an overhead conveyor into a heap here. So then if the grinding pans were getting clay which was too wet, they'd add some of the dry to it.
Oh, so like flour in a cake?
That's right, yep. So they get the mixture right.
To get the mixture right, is it by touch, or have they got some mechanism to know how wet or dry it is?
No, that's sort of by touch. If you picked it up and squeezed it, it would keep in a ball. If it's too dry, as you opened your hand, it'd just fall apart, yeah.
Right, so I think this is photo 9.
This is dry clay coming across the conveyor. You can't see the hoppers. All you can see is the conveyor with the dry clay on. This walkway is for the man who comes up and adjusts things.
This is the top of where they pipe.
Yeah, that is. This conveyor is taking clay after it's gone through the rotary dryer. And, it drops out the end of the rotary dryer, down that end. It goes up a belted conveyor and drops onto this here conveyor. Then it's sort of delivered into three hoppers, which are over the grinder pans.
Photo 10.
This is a grinder pan. You see a man, I'm not sure who he is, but he's shoveling some overspill, overflow that looks, he's just shoveling it back in. And you can see a hopper in the background. That's the hopper for the other grinder pan. This grinder pan hopper would be about here. And what happens, the clay goes into this here pan. See the big cogwheel on the front, yeah. On the top of the crane wheel, that's a pinion, and that's driven, and that drives these two big rollers. And in the bottom of the pan is like a big sieve. It's cast iron sieve. And as these rollers go round, they grind the clay up. So that's when this man here is sort of the most important man in the press shed, because that's where he gets the mixture right. There is a tap at the back too. If it's too dry, he'll put a drop of water on. If it's too wet, he'll throw a bit of dry in. So the mixture's right. It goes through the sieve, down deep into the ground, and it then goes up a conveyor to the top.
To picture 11.
To the top of the... Now, this is picture 11. This is another one of the grinding pans. This is the elevator, which is taking clay, which has gone through the sieves on the grinding pan. It's taking it up right to the top of the shed and dropping it into the press hopper.
So how much do these take each? They only look about the size of the brick.
They're not very big. They only take sort of a couple of handfuls. And as I said, it's coming through there all the time, and they're going all the time. So in an hour, them little cups take a lot of clay up there. And that is another picture of the grinding pan. Mm-hmm. We now have...
Is that 12? Yeah.
I don't know, you're a lost count of me.
Yeah, we'll say 12.
This is, I'm not sure who he is, neither. No, his face, I forget his name. He's on the brick press. Now, it's gone through the grinding pan, up the elevators to the press hoppers. Now, that's fallen into the press. And that press makes 1,200 bricks per hour, and each brick weighs 7 pounds. That's just a guard to stop you putting his hands in this. And what happens, the press, the clay is the right consistency now, and it drops into a mould, and pistons come and thump it into a brick. As it drops into the mould, the carrier goes... It drops into a mould, the pistons come down and pump it into a brick. The press shoves the brick up out of the mould. Then the carrier comes forward, full of clay, refills the mould, and at the same time pushes these two bricks forward. And then the pistons come and pump it into a brick again. The press pushes the bricks up out of the mould. The carrier comes forward and pushes them bricks forward. And, oh dear, that's complicated. But, and process is sort of repeated. And that chap, he takes them bricks, so they come out two at a time. If there's any cracked or damaged, he can throw them on some rollers and they go back in the grinding pan to be reground. And he then...
So where are all the other bricks going off? To the end, or...?
No, he is going to put them onto a what we call a tray, or a pallet, you'd call it nowadays. He'll stack them on, and...
And I think this is photo 14.
And that is a tray load of bricks being backed into the kiln to be set in the firing pan. And that is... The man on the press, he's stacked them on there. He's sort of seen them and think they're okay. If a brick is what you call too soft, he can adjust his machine so he can get a bit more clay in it and make it the right size. If it's too soft, it looks like it's got woodworm. It's not got enough clay in it. And this here is a Lister truck, which backs under the tray. It's pumped up by hydraulics and it's reversed into the kiln where two men...
So the actual kiln themselves is made from bricks?
Oh, yes.
So where did you get the original bricks from? Are they from before when you didn't have kilns or...?
No, because before they built this kiln, there was a... another kiln on the other side of the yard, which was making bricks. But a lot of these bricks would come in. That surprised me when they're doing repairs. You saw flattens, which come from Peterborough way. But a lot of it was Burwell bricks. When we get to the big chimneys later on, you'll see they're Burwell bricks. But, this is the Staffordshire kiln. The other kiln was the Hoffman kiln. So a lot of these bricks could have been made on site. When he's backed that in...
And this is now photo 15.
You'll see two men in there. I know one, the one on the right is Ted Peacock, because...
Three.
Yeah, three men, yeah. The one standing with his back to the chamber wall is Juggy Harden. I think his proper name is Arthur, but we call him Juggy. Here's the yard foreman. That's Ted Peacock. And what they're doing, that chamber holds 20,000 bricks, and they're putting them in a firing pan. There'll be flues left in so the heat can go round and that. And them two men will put 20,000 bricks in that firing pan in there in an 8-hour shift.
What are these pipes, the gas or...?
No, they are lowered down from the top potholes, and if they need any lights, if they're working after dark, they just put a lead light on there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's no gas, that's all coal-fired, and when the coals drop down, you'll see there's a space up that side. That's what we call the fender. That's where the main fire is. And as the kiln burner on the top looks down, right across there is rows of what we call potholes. And then as he looks down and thinks that part of the chamber is not warm enough, he'll drop a little bit of coal down that end. But most of the coal comes down this here fender.
And to actually see the heat... Does he go by the colour of the heat,
or is there a thermostat? Yes, that will be the kiln burner's job. He'll be able to look. That they do have temperature gauges, but once you get used to it, you can tell whether it's 800 or 900 or whatever. And that is putting them in. The picture now.
About 15 now?
Yeah. But now, I think at this point, I've got to explain the working of the kiln. Mm. See the chimney now? That's a Burwell brick chimney. Now, the chimney, I think that was 120 feet high. Now, the chimney has to be the same length as the kiln to get the balance of air. So, underneath that kiln is the main flue or tunnel. And if you look at the doorways, that's 10 this side and 10 the other side.
Right.
And what we have, in say three of them chambers, we got fires. And, this is awkward. Can you switch off a minute? I'll get a pen and see if we can draw. I tried it.
Right. No, I'm not going to try and switch off just in case.
And you blow it up. We must have some scribble paper in here.
So a diagram is being drawn of the kilns.
This is a Staffordshire kiln. That's the chimney. There should be 10 of these, but... it's not. Right. Can I just go and get me... are you going to switch that thing? I'll want these colour markers.
Oh, right.
Switch it from that. I want them upstairs.
Okay.